Small businesses are grappling with the impact of these uncertain times and looking for resources. That's why Dell Technologies assembled an all-star lineup of podcasters to create the first-ever virtual conference to share advice and inspiration for small businesses. Dell Technologies is here, from keeping you connected while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams to providing relevant content for businesses. Search Dell Technologies Small Business Podference on radio.com, Spotify, or Apple Podcasts starting May 1st.
For the perfect scam, I'm your host, Michelle Kosinski.
And I'm Frank Avagnale.
Frank has played a doctor, a lawyer, a pilot, and now he's playing a podcast host. He joins me, along with other top fraud experts, to share some of America's biggest scam stories.
Somebody's always going to be trying to come up with a new scheme. It's just too much money to be made easily.
Frauds, scams, con artists, shocking tales of deceit. You name it, we got it all. The perfect scam from AARP.
Dr. Scott Hardiman is a physician and urgent specialist. You can find him online at urgentspecialist.com, the best place to go if you have urgent care needs, which can be, I guess, a little confusing these days. Dr. Hardiman, thank you so much for coming on with us again. You were a huge hit when we had you on last week.
Well, thanks, Annie. It's great to be back. I'm glad you guys are staying safe. Here we are another week into this, I guess, right?
Yes, exactly. So you are a part owner and a physician at Urgent Specialist. Urgent Specialist is a little bit different than regular urgent care because you have specialists that are on call available to see patients when it is needed in the urgent care facility, which will save you time and money for sure. But I'm sure coronavirus has kind of probably thrown a little bit of a, I don't know about a wrench, but just a kink maybe in the system. You've just opened up. You have a beautiful facility there at Urgent Specialist. But how has coronavirus impacted what you are doing at Urgent Specialist and what you can do at Urgent Specialist?
Well, it's kind of unique because patients in general are just not seeking a whole lot of medical care right now. I think there's a general public awareness of trying to put things on the back burner. So across the nation, I think I read a statistic earlier this weekend, or up the weekend, I should say, that said that visits to urgent cares are down by about 60% or so. And that's really what would be reflective of my medical practice, too, is, you know, an ENT physician, you know, our volume is way down, some of which is intentional, trying to limit patients' exposure to one another and our staff as well. But it seems as if people are, you know, kind of holding a lot of things back at this point and just reserving time for medical care until hopefully this clears in the not too distant future.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I want to ask you about the personal protective equipment that everyday folks can use, not the stuff that the medical folks need to use. I know that it's pretty hard to come by an N95 mask these days. I actually cut a pair of pants that I had in half and fashioned a mask out of them for my husband so that he could go to the store to buy groceries. Is that better than nothing? What's your advice to people who don't have the ability to sew, they can't make their own mask or whatever, and they can't find it on the store shelves in and of themselves? What do you suggest?
Yeah, I think it is better than nothing. This has been really interesting to watch. Just so many people step up to try and produce masks. We have nurses at one of our ambulatory surgery centers that are sewing out of fabrics that we use to sterilize instruments in. There's people sewing them out of cotton. Almost any mask is better than nothing. I think the CDC even sort of made that recommendation. And I think that there's two parts to that. One is you want to feel like you're protecting yourself to some degree, but the other part is we're protecting the community. Wearing a cloth mask versus an N95 mask does an awful lot of good, that if you are someone who is symptomatic or possibly asymptomatic and could have the virus on board, it really potentially slows the transmission because of the droplets that can't pass through that. The N95 masks, they're hard to come by. We utilize them in the hospital, and that really tends to protect the healthcare worker or the person wearing them tremendously. But it's important to use that in the context of eye protection as well, because these virus particles can gain access to respiratory tree almost through any of those areas of mucous membranes. But for the general public, I would say any mask is better than nothing at this point, and just get in the habit. I've been out and about just a bit and see people wearing masks more frequently all the time, and I think even a cotton mask or a cloth mask is not a half bad idea.
So one leg from my leggings for my husband is better than
that's right.
Dr. Hardiman, we talked to you quite a bit last week about chloroquine. Has there been any progress on that front? Do we know more now than we did a week ago?
I think what we're seeing more now is that the data from some of these studies overseas are starting to work themselves through. There still haven't been these classic double-blinded randomized studies, but that's a tough thing to do when you're in this wartime footing like this. Again, trying to put someone in the category of giving them a placebo versus a drug that's been anecdotally and in a number of studies positively shown to be beneficial. So it seems as if it's gaining a little momentum. If you recall, we kind of talked a little bit about right now, a lot of the treatment has been in very sick patients in the hospital, and there's a question there how much benefit you can actually see once the disease has progressed to that point. So just in the past few days or so, it seems as if the chatter has shifted more, as we were talking about last week, to earlier treatment and trying to not limit that ability to treat through the doctor-patient relationship. Some states are restricting it more and more, and other places it's still accessible. And if your physician feels like that it would be beneficial to use a protocol of that, it can be helpful. And I think that's hopefully where we'll see this transition. Again, we spend our entire careers trying to stop people from getting sick and ending up in a hospital. And we're kind of in this position now, based upon resources and knowledge we have about this new virus, to really treat only the people that are the sickest of the sick. So trying to shift that pendulum out, address people when they start to have mild to moderate symptoms, or higher risk individuals, or front end healthcare workers and first responders, to try and slow the progression of it. I think that most likely we're going to see that it's more beneficial in that category of individual than it would be someone who's acutely and very ill.
We're speaking with Dr. Scott Hardiman. He's a physician and urgent specialist, online at urgentspecialist.com, the go-to place in urgent care. I want to ask you a question from Bill, who's watching us on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/AnnieFryShow, if you'd like to ask the doctor a question. We'll see if we can get it in here. He wants to know how to check produce, and I've thought this myself. We've actually kind of foregone some produce in our household for a while, but, you know, you pick up an apple, you look at it, you put it back, and then you pick up the ones. How blessed we are in the United States of America to be able to go through our food in this capacity. But what's your suggestion on picking and on purchasing produce like that in the grocery store that is often touched by a bunch of people? Do you still buy it? And if you do still buy it, how do you clean it?
Yeah, I think I'll tell you my general opinion, and I'll tell you what we do in our family. So you're absolutely right. People move through. If you have a sense of what you're doing at the time, if you're wearing a mask and if you're careful and your hands are clean going in, or using hand sanitizer, you're picking these pieces of produce or fruit up, or really anything at the grocery store, it gets put back down. It's well known that the virus can live on inanimate things for an extended period of time. And so trying to be aware of transitioning from the store where you put things into your cart to the bags to bring them to your home, getting your hands clean first. We're washing everything down in hot soapy water, even taking kind of a Clorox type wipe to packaged goods just to wipe them off. Don't take frozen foods and throw them right in the refrigerator or freezer without wiping them down. I think it's a good measure just to think that the virus potentially could be on all of that. And if you're washing it off once it gets to your house and then consistently washing your hands after you've touched it and then put it away, you should be okay at that point.
So if you take something that's frozen, you might have corrected me on something that I've been doing. I've been thinking that if I let anything sit for 3 to 5 days, that it's probably good, especially if I'm putting it in the freezer and just I'll have it next week. Is that bad thinking on my part?
You know, I would say that's really good thinking for anything that's not frozen. I think where I would be concerned with is that, you know, and I don't know that I have an extremely scientific answer to this other than to say that viral things in general, if you had a frozen good and they're contaminated, we and put it in the freezer, potentially could, you know, hold that virus in sort of its state so that when you take it back out, it could still be potentially active. So, but for anything else, absolutely. If you bring groceries in and set them in a bag and leave them on the floor in your garage for 3 or 4 days, I think you're probably fine in that regard. But we still wipe down all of our frozen goods as well, just to be on the safe side. You know, when we take viral cultures on people, you'll oftentimes put them in the freezer to try and preserve them longer.
This is terrible
then
news.
You know, God, I'm sorry.
I'll be right back. I gotta go tell my husband to undo the entire freezer. Right.
It's so funny what you just said, putting bags of groceries in the garage. That's exactly what everybody's doing, but nobody wants to admit that they're doing it.
Right.
We talked to you last week at this time about testing. You guys at Urgent Specialists had tests at the time. How has that progressed over the last week? You guys still have tests. How's the St. Louis area doing in this regard?
Well, we had talked about the difference in the PCR test, the molecular test, versus these antibody tests that are still getting a lot of hype in the media right now. Unfortunately, we really haven't progressed a whole lot further down the line with respect to that antibody testing. The FDA has an emergency authorization use act that allows a lot of tests that aren't quote-unquote FDA-approved but are authorized to use because it seems like their specificity and sensitivity are good enough. The same was true for the PCR testing, but with these antibody tests, I think they're having a hard time figuring out how to classify them and how to vet one company versus another. So over the latter part of the week, the testing kits that we were supposed to receive were held up while the FDA was sorting that out to try to determine which ones were better than others. There is one antibody test that has been officially approved, to my knowledge, and a number of other competitor companies. And then late in the week, there were some other competitors that sort of flooded the market that weren't as good of tests. And so I think they're still sorting that out. What we're hearing from the distributors is that hopefully within the next few days, those will start to ship and we still will have a little better sense of where we are probably by midweek or so.
Doctor, we asked you this last time, and we'll get our act together and ask you this off air later on, but do you mind sticking around for us? We have a lot of questions coming in.
Sure.
And you're, like I said, you're a popular guy. We're speaking with Dr. Scott Hardiman. He's a physician at Urgent Specialists. You need to have urgentspecialist.com down. You need to check it out right now, because when you need urgent care, you might not think about it, but get familiar with it right now, because this is a place that you're going to go and get a lot taken care of at one time with a pharmacy on site.